Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. So I have a fantastic conversation for you all this evening, and I'm really, really excited. But first of all, I just want to share that my week has been absolutely fantastic, right? So last week, I had the pleasure of meeting Michael Rockefeller, which is John D. Rockefeller's grandson. And this was at the Best in Business for the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce, who I love. And it's not a plug. I just love that organization because they really take care of the small business person. So if you're a small business person and you live in New York, I think you should join. Right. But he was his father was the Honorable Citizen of the Decade or something like that. He was being honored posthumously. And his grandson gave a talk, talked about him and talked about their relationship they had. And one of the things that he mentioned that his grandfather was all about was love, right? This guy's speech literally touched my heart, right? That literally a tear came out of my face, that I ran across the room when he got off the stage just to tell him thank you and how much he had moved me. It was so great. He was the best of the whole thing. And I did meet the guys that created, what's Casper, the mattress. Oh, yeah. Can you believe those guys started their business? And well, I can. I've started my business in the apartment in a bedroom with one mattress. And they used to send out these little kind of ads and people used to come and try the mattress and then buy it. Those guys are now worth 4 years later. Guess how much? $240 million.
Wow. Amazing.
That's amazing. They've literally broken the mattress business because you don't need a box spring. I never heard of having a box spring when I first came here. And the box spring was an American thing, right? You had a bed, you put the mattress on the bed and that was it. You didn't need to buy a box spring. What do? Throw away the box spring every time you get a new mattress? Well, anyway, that was my week. It was really awesome. I had a really busy week. I networked a lot. I met a lot of fabulous people. And I met some fabulous, fabulous, fabulous people, which is Christine Christine Ricci, right? Who is the godmother of denim. Get that? I just think that's like the godfather of soul, the godmother of denim, right? And then we have Stephanie Benedetto, who is the queen of raw. And then we have Dippin, yes. Skinny Dippin the pool. Yes, now I got it. Yes. Dippin, who is with Cro-Magnon. And what do these people have in common? They are all in the area of fashion. Am I right? And sustainability. They are the background. They are the ones that actually make the fashion, because if they didn't make and create the fashion or create the platform for fashion, the models wouldn't have anything to wear. Am I right? Wouldn't have anything to wear. So I would like to invite and welcome them to the show. So I would like somebody to go first. Christine is fighting with the microphone. Don't worry about it. We're easy here.
All right. There we
so go. Introduce there. Yourself.
Hi, my name is Christine Ricci. I am...
Don't get shy on me, girl.
No, I'm not. First and foremost, I am mom to Owen, who's my 15-year-old son. And I have been in the denim business for 35 years, a career in denim. And I'm a cyclist. I'm an urban gardener. And gosh, I do a lot of different things.
She's a volunteer.
I volunteer.
She waters plants.
Trees.
Up and trees. Yes, trees. She waters trees up and down, was it?
On East 5th Street between Bowery and 1st Avenue. And I'm going to become a official New York City tree pruner. And it's kind of a good title. And you get to care for trees, which are really important. And volunteering and getting grounded, or what I call earthing, is really good for your soul. We need to, when it says getting grounded, we're around so much electronics constantly, computers. So by volunteering, I not only help my neighborhood to keep it beautiful, but I also get grounded. It helps me a lot.
Also, you have a project that you work on in Africa.
Yes. I about 2 years ago, I went to Africa and working with another group called the Monkey Bay Fund, and I brought art to the children of two tribes in Africa, and we did about 600 paintings, and it was really amazing because they had never seen what painting. But one of the best stories was, in African village, if someone's mentally ill, they kind of don't speak to him. And there was an older man, and he kept hanging with all the children. And I was like looking over my shoulder. So I just handed him a paintbrush. And by the end of the 3 weeks after being there, he was sitting painting and everyone was speaking to him. And it really touched me. And so I started a little thing called the Arts Project, which literally means art. A-R-T-S, art renews the soul, because it really does. And to see these children's faces, and I was giving them the paintings to leave to go home, and they kept handing me them back. And I was thinking, no, give them, you take them home to your parents. And I was, because I thought kids in America, they're so blessed. Like, they get to go to school. And here we were building primary schools to help the new education system in Malawi. So it's really amazing. If you can volunteer and give back, and
do it.
It really renews your soul.
Okay, I'm gonna get to you, Dipton, but I want to get to Stephanie, who's on the radio, who's on the telephone. So hi, yes. Stephanie, welcome, and thank you.
How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic.
So my company is Queen of Rock. And it is in fashion and sustainable textiles. My family has actually been in the textiles business in New York since the 1890s. So I guess it's kind of in my blood, maybe inevitable that I would end up in this business, although I spent some time on Wall Street as an attorney, but in sustainability, fashion, technology, and really wanted to use all those tools and all those experiences to bring them together and figure out how can we make this industry better. We're all consuming a lot. You just said, talking about the phone and all these experiences that we're having so quickly every day, and how can we do it better for people, for planet, for profit?
Right.
And that became kind of my passion and my calling. I too have a son. I have a 2-year-old boy named Jacob, and I want him to have a planet to live on and clean air to breathe and clothes that aren't toxic to wear. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was the impetus for why I knew I had to be a key part of that solution. So my platform brings these kind of innovative and sustainable textiles and other kinds of raw materials to the fashion, design, and creative industries, and then lets them do their magic. Right. But bringing it into the supply chain was an important part for me for the process.
Awesome. So I want you to know that you and Christine have things in common.
Yes.
Your family was in the garment district. Her family was in the garment district. Your family's from Italy. Her family's from Italy. You have one child. She has one child. She has a boy. You have a boy. And then you both have me as the thread that binds you both together. So I'm really loving that. So Dipin, it's your turn.
Great. as you can see, I'm not exactly that comfortable talking, but anyway, I'll do the best I can. So I am one of the founders of a new sustainable streetwear brand called Cro-Magnon. And what we do is we create high-end refined streetwear using sustainable materials, business practices. Everything that we use is either biodegradable in some way or recycled or natural, or we're working with artisans and some form or other. Mm-hmm. And our big goal is to basically help usher the next phase of the fashion industry, where the consumers start, you know, expecting their clothing to be made from ethical practices and materials, and they start asking the question of why isn't it made from those materials and practices, as opposed to, where it is now, where they don't even think about it. We want to be in a situation where our clothes sell themselves, and then people afterwards find out that our practices that we use, and they're pleasantly surprised by it.
Awesome. So how did I get an interest into sustainability? Well, I don't like shopping, first and foremost, and I really don't like man-made fibers, but I do wear them. And what really got me into this was the people from Fashion Week Brooklyn, Fashion Week Brooklyn, they brought together so many different peoples. And one of the areas that they spoke about was sustainability. And that's where I first met Stephanie. And I asked a question of, like, what if I stopped buying clothes and I just thought of rented clothes? And she informed me. What did you tell me, Stephanie?
Well, you know, that there are, it's an interesting proposition, obviously, right? Like Rent the Runway, that instead of owning and buying all of these fast fashion clothes, we could just rent. But it's important to also think about the other implications that that has. And that is, for example, think about the amount of dry cleaning. You know, Rent the Runway has become one of the United States, if not the world's biggest dry cleaners.
Right.
And that itself has implications around sustainability that we don't always think of. I'm not saying if it's a bad or good choice but to make, but it's just all of these considerations that aren't always readily apparent.
Right. And so finding that out, I don't do Rent the Runway anymore. Finding out that H&M, I don't, after watching a Netflix program about H&M and the fast fashion, I no longer shop in those kind of stores. Not that I ever really kind of did, but I don't no longer shop in those stores. But one of the things I saw a couple of weeks ago on 42nd and 5th, they used to be the big H&M. Now they have three different separate stores. When in the clothes look really great. I'm going to, you know what? We have to cut to break. Oh, we don't? We have time?
Oh, good.
Okay. So went into those stores. The clothes looked really great. Picked out a bunch of clothes because I had a little bit of money to spend on myself. Asked the questions, who are these companies? Apparently, they belong to H&M. And you can tell me a little bit about what they've done. They've gotten together with different corporations or different companies.
Well, a lot of businesses, in order to drive people in the stores, are doing collaborations. They are fantastic for smaller brands to go to a bigger company. However, if you're not aware of their manufacturing practices, as much as it's a great opportunity, if that's not, if your mission statement is about sustainability, like my part is about keeping factories going in the United States, in the South, East particularly. And, you know, as much as that's a great idea, if you're, you know, they're not following the good practices, then it's kind of, you know, blood money for your clothes, you know, you're not really. So that's, it's a great opportunity when good fabric and smaller brands that are have the same mission statement can collaborate. That's awesome.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I have one quick bone to pick, you know, about the H&M conversation, because I hear everything that everyone is saying about them, right? And it's terrible that they're burning their fabrics and their waste, and that they, you know, it is still the biggest consumer con in the world and creating all of this wastewater and toxins, and I get it. But then I kind of feel on the flip side, and I don't know how you guys feel. I was talking to some FIT students this morning about it. And on the other hand, they are the biggest giver of money to these sustainable initiatives. They do the H&M Global Change Awards and give millions of dollars of awards to startups that are empowered to make a difference, to make a change. And they did try with their eco-conscious collection to get it in the minds of consumers about doing something a little bit better, albeit far from perfectly. So I just throw it out there, too, as of playing both sides and how we think about these things. It's always, sustainability is always a complex, loaded word.
Yeah, you know, and that I do understand that. But I mean, what do we do? It's like, you know, they're giving money on one hand and they're doing damage on the other hand. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a really, really complex situation. How do you how are we as a people, or as a nation? I know for me now, I know I can't buy certain things. I don't. Right now, I know that, you know, Rent the Runway are huge dry cleaning people. I don't do that because I really don't like dry cleaning. I must have washed about 15 dresses yesterday by hand, right? But how do you, like, if once you know something, you can't step back. I know it now and I can't step back, right? But how do we manage this? How do we do this?
Well, I mean, one thing I want to say about fast fashion, the biggest issue is if something costs $19.99, it was on the backs of people. The biggest issue is what happened with Zara this week, where the workers have not been paid for a year, so they sewed into the garments, which ended up in retail stores, saying, please help us. We've not been paid. Right. If you go break down the garment to the person that's sewing it, that's the other. That's a big part of sustainability, is about the people as well making the garments. Fast fashion is not good for anybody.
Okay, so we're going to come right back with the conversation on fast fashion. And also we're going to come back and we want to find out more about these individuals, because this is a show about people finding their passion and creating their lives through their passion. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter for Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Stephanie Benedetto from Queen of Raw. Christine Rucci. I said it right. Godmother of Denim. And Dipton, Cro-Magnon. Hi, Dipton. So Dipton, what do you, tell us a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about what do you think about all this fashion stuff and what, you know, your company does.
Sure. So my background is actually not in fashion. My business partner is the fashion person. She's the one responsible for all the design. She unfortunately couldn't be here, so you guys are stuck
with
me.
But she is here. She's online, so she can send you questions.
Yes. Yeah. She can make sure I don't screw up too badly.
That's right.
basically, my background is more in technology. Uh-huh. And so I try to take care of all the boring stuff, as I like to call it, while she does all the fun stuff.
Well, it's fun to you, right?
Yes. I do enjoy the technology side of things and the business side of things. So yes. And I have been learning a lot about the industry. And I actually find the fashion industry to be very, very fascinating. It's a lot more deep and complex than I would have imagined from the outside. And just the nature of, you know, the seasonality of the clothes, plus the trend-driven side of things, combined with the fact that you're serving, quote-unquote, two masters, the consumer and the retailer in the middle, I find makes it a lot more complex than most other industries out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of other manufacturing industries, you know, like a car or a microwave, they don't really have to make much changes from one year to the next.
Right.
99% of it stays the same. But in fashion, you really have to do a lot every season to stay relevant and to stay at the forefront of everything.
Right.
So, you know, I find that the industry is very, very interesting from that perspective. And the more I learn about it, the more interested I get in it. The design side of things, obviously, I'm not going to speak much about. You know, I like the clothing. I don't have much to say on the design side. But in terms of the materials and business practices, you know, I strongly believe, just as Kristen does, that, you know, we want to make the world better. Mm-hmm. Right? We want to show people that you can have amazing looking clothing that doesn't have to compromise on anything.
Right.
Right. We use sustainable materials. We use a lot of
hemp. Tell us about some of those materials that you guys use, because you're using science.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
Yes. Kristen has a biology background before she switched to fashion. So she relies on that a lot when she learns about, you know, the different materials and the processes they go through to make the materials and everything. So, you know, she's done a lot of the sourcing work, almost all of it, and mm-hmm. she's done a great job at it. We ended up using a lot of hemp-based materials because mm-hmm. hemp is very renewable and easy to grow and doesn't require a lot of pesticides, and it's very easy to transform into fibers for clothing. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we rely a lot on recycled polyester, recycled PET bottles. And
what's PET bottles?
PET bottles is basically they take the plastic bottles that we drink from, and then mm-hmm. they recycle it and they respin it. The actual material is called PET. I forget exactly mm-hmm. what it stands for. I'm sure someone else knows.
Do you guys know what it is?
I know it is PET. We use everything from...
Do you know what it stands for, though?
Yeah.
Stephanie, yeah. Do you know what it stands for?
Yeah, I did. Polyethylene terephthalate.
Thank you. Something like that.
Particular type of bad plastic that, you know, is otherwise very difficult to recycle. And now there's some options for it. It was made popular by like Pharrell, and G-Star did a whole line in it. And now a lot of great companies are doing great work.
In actuality, like Cone Denim's been doing it with ketchup bottles and beer bottles and plastic green bottles, and they've woven the denim with it for years. It's the bigger brands have just been able to market it, and it's just coming out. And in fact, there's a whole bunch of stuff now. There's a new recycled, I spoke to Invista, and there's a new recycled, you asked the question to me the other day, that Lycra and spandex, they can be recycled, and there's a new version of it coming out. As also, Lenzic has the Refibra, which is the new recycled Tencel.
Right. So if you were to say to people that are listening, which is a few of them that are listening right now, in terms of what to buy and how to buy and how to buy sustainably, what would you say to them?
For myself, I think it's really important that, number one, buy your clothes from small businesses. Mm-hmm. And try to go out to the stores, because mm-hmm. a lot of these people, you know, the brick and mortar stores need our help. Mm-hmm. And mom and pops type specialty stores offer, I think, a better breadth of product. They take chances with sustainable new brands, which the big stores don't. And I think, you know, you can mix it up with vintage. And if your jeans rip, patch them. You know, I'm all about renew, reuse, recycle. But, you know, there are amazing, like Everlane is a new brand that's got a $69 jean at a very good price. And it's made at the most sustainable factory in the world right now, called Cytex in Vietnam. So go out and buy a pair of those jeans. And then I'm trying to do a very similar thing in Georgia.
Right.
With a factory that, you know, using 3D laser body scanning mm-hmm. technology, we're able to make bespoke jeans for people very quickly, supporting an economy in rural Georgia. And then we're trying to convert an old-time laundry into a waterless laundry and using...
Yeah, I want to talk more about that.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, what would you say? What would you say to people?
Yeah, so I take a very broad view of mm-hmm. sustainability, and I get challenged all the time about it. But I will say, of course, I echo what everyone else says. It's great if it's recycled, reused, and repurposed in some way. If it is made in a fair trade factory, if it used some process to minimize water toxins, if it's organic. But, you know, I also think that, like we said, dead stock, even if it's a python snakeskin, but it's otherwise sitting in a warehouse or going to be sent to a landfill, and we can divert it from those places and reuse it in some way and bring it back into the supply chain, there's a value in that.
Right.
So, you know, obviously you have to find what fits your definition.
Right. That's what attracted me to you. That's what attracted to me to you, because you were going in, finding dead stock and bringing it back out into the market. Because one of the places that it will probably end up is in the landfill, burned, or probably dumped in the ocean, which, you know, exactly. is not good for any of us. So that was...
And there are millions of tons out there right now, $100 billion worth of fashion fabrics alone sitting in warehouses. And it just doesn't need to be that way anymore.
And how far do these fabrics go back?
Oh, I mean, they don't even know. A lot of these big houses, I mean, they can only do so much. They're churning out new on the fashion calendar. It's hard to manage and know what's sitting in warehouses and tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers all over the world. Mm-hmm. Things that get moved around during the production process, they don't even know a lot of times.
Right.
And end up finding a lot of this stuff. And it goes back years. So there's a value add in that, right? It's a cool, vintage, one-of-a-kind material.
Right. Cool. Awesome. So So I want to find out a little bit about you guys' history. So I want to ask Christine, because she has this story of when she was a little girl, how she got into denim. Denim's in her blood. So we're gonna hold that thought, right? But we're going to get to it because I want to find out each of you's story. And I want to find out your passions, your loves, because I really want you to inspire individuals that are sitting here listening to this recording or listening to us live right now who have these passions and want to make a difference in the world and want to contribute, but are afraid that they will not be able to sustain themselves. So when we get back, we're going to get into that, the meat and potatoes of that. Okay, so we'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on the Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. I just love this day. It's Tuesday. It's one of the most fantastic days of the week for me because I'm here and I get to talk to people about interesting things. So, Christine, tell us about your intro to denim.
All right. Well, first, just going very quickly, my great-grandmother was a seamstress in the garment center when she came over from Italy. My grandmother sewed. My mother sewed.
You just lost the bubble.
And so I had to go to Catholic school, and every day I would walk home from school and I'd see kids in Levi's, and my mother attempted to make me a pair of jeans. She sewed them. They were hideous. Anyway, one day I kept saying, please, please, I need a pair of Levi's. I have to have a pair of Levi's.
Dear God.
And my parents gave me a Levi's book bag. Which I got to carry to school, to Catholic school, which really annoyed the nuns, but I knew I had denim. And then the love affair started. And finally, like in fourth grade, I said, I begged them. I'm like, please, I have to go to public school. I don't want to wear this uniform. I look like Madeline from The Saint. I had a clip-on bolo tie. So it was hideous. St. Rose of Lima or Lima. And so once I had a pair of jeans, to me, that was it. The love affair started, and go to the Army Navy stores, and we would buy them raw. They weren't washed, and you would break your own jean in, and or if we would do a little bleaching in our mother's, you know, sink. In the washing machine or in the sink. So that started it. And then
And tell us about the dream to work for.
Yeah. So in 1976, Levi's had a contest, and I entered it, and it was to design your own denim. And my parents gave me a book, Fashion Design and Pencils. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to go to FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, New York City. I thought I'd be like Rhoda from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. That was like kind of my dream, to have Rhoda's apartment. And I was like, that's it. And as I was walking from Penn Station to FIT, I saw W Magazine, and it opened up. I know the exact date. It was August 21st, 1981. I opened up, and W Magazine used to open up like the New York Times, very huge. And there it was, Ralph Lauren, Ruffwear. And that day, like my heart, I go, one day.
Be still, my.
I'm going to work for that man. I'm going to, that's it. I'm going to work for Ralph Lauren one day. And
fast forward
years later, I had developed a new denim technique, and I got written up in Women's Wear Daily, and no one had ever seen anything like this. And I think they called me the queen of denim or denim guru or something in the article before I became godmother. And like a week later, I got a phone call, and it's like, this is Ralph Lauren's office. We want to meet you. And I'm like,
be still, my heart.
Oh my God. So, you know, of course I go there, and, you know, I just, you know, I was like, hey, how you doing? And everyone's very like, oh, it's Ralph Lauren, polo ponies, and everyone's wearing joppers. I look like an Oompa Loompa if I wore joppers. I'm too short, you know? So now I'm sitting there, and I'm like, so I'd work late every night, and I heard some squirreling behind my desk. And I said, who's ever behind my desk, if you touch my samples, I'm going to break your face. I pull back the curtain, and there is Ralph Lauren. And this became like my Tuesdays with Morty were my Fridays with Ralph. And every Friday night, he'd say, what you working on? And we'd talk, and he'd talk about his inspiration. So this one day, he picks up a jean jacket off the back of my chair. He puts it on, and he says, what is this? And I said, oh, that's 1930s, Big Smith. I go, left-hand denim. And he's like, what's left-hand denim? I said, well, it's the way the yarn sits. And I explain the whole weaving technique. And that was a Friday. Monday morning, I got called into my boss's office. I said, listen, Mr. Lawrence asked you to, he'd like to move you into a new position. And, you know, would you like to be the senior design director for RRL? And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, faint, drop the mic. And so that was it.
Awesome.
So, you know, to come full circle, and, you know, he taught me a lot about giving back, and, you know, he's got the Pink Pony Foundation, and he's built this amazing hospital in Harlem and in London, because he saw the plight of people with health issues not being able to get health care.
Right.
And that inspired me. So
good. So I want to have everybody to have their turn. That's a great story. I love that. So Stephanie, let's hear your story.
So kind of similar beginnings, 1890s, Lower East Side, New York. My great grandfather comes over on a ship from Austria through Ellis Island and lands there, and basically has to figure out how to make a living and build his family here. Mm-hmm. And so what did he do? He had to find materials and supplies that were around him nearby. He had to make something, a product, using his hands. Mm-hmm. And he had to sell to local customers. And he ended up becoming this master furrier with some beautiful fur pieces that I still have and wear to this day. And I always think back to him as like the most clean, sustainable supply chain and process. It just made sense. It made sense for people, it made sense for planet, and it made sense for profit, for his bottom line. Mm-hmm. So obviously we know the world's much more complicated, but he's been kind of an inspiration to me. I did not do the traditional family route. I mentioned earlier, I went to Wall Street as a corporate attorney, but in fashion, technology, sustainability, and always knew I wanted to go out on my own. And then the 08 crash happened, and kind of when those kinds of things happen, you have a little bit tough time to reevaluate what matters to you and what's important. And for me, I knew I wanted to go out. I wanted to make a difference and change the world some way. And I had seen excess both in the fashion industry and on Wall Street, and I'd seen waste. And I knew that we could use technology and do things better. And that kind of became my inspiration for building the Queen of Raw platform. I actually, before Queen of Raw, did have a sustainable textile manufacturing company. We developed a new process that converts recycled paper mm-hmm. and a designer's old fabrics from prior collections, and we can repurpose it into a custom leather alternative.
Wow.
And I kind of hit that note in the market about 7 years ago when sustainability was really growing and, you know, bigger brands were catching on. And from there, kind of started building Queen of Raw and the bigger problem that I wanted to address, which was connecting designers to these suppliers. And the one thing I'll say about this, both from a personal and a professional perspective, is, you know, never doubt that you guys out there as a single person can go out and build something and change the world. Even if you don't have a traditional formal background, I didn't have a traditional fashion background. My family did, but I didn't. But if you see a problem and you think you know how to address it, go out there and try it. You can do it.
That's right. I believe that, you know, people, we always talk about changing the world, right? But what is the world? For me, the world is my world, your world, your world, your world. Everybody thinks of changing the world like we're going to change this thing that we all walk upon or sit upon. And it's not. It's changing one world at a time, which is starts with me. Then it goes to you, and then it goes to you. And that's how we change. It's like a collective vibration and a collective voice. And that's what we're changing. The world, as the planet itself, doesn't need clothes. We need clothes. The world doesn't need computers. We need computers. But we have to be mindful of what we do with the excess to make it and the excess to get rid of it when it's no longer in style, or, you know, can't work, or the technology has gotten better. So Dipton is not in fashion, but Dipton has his own passions. So let's hear about you, Dipton.
Sure. My background is with technology, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. I currently have a side job kind of funding the business, mm-hmm. which is doing actually traditional development, but programming and databases and mm-hmm. things like that. And my background kind of started with, you know, as a kid, I was one of those kids who liked puzzles, right? Mm-hmm. I liked, you know, taking things apart, putting them back
together. Did you have a Rubik's Cube?
I think I did, although that wasn't a big thing for me. I had a couple of other toys, which for the most part, I've forgotten what they were because, mm-hmm. you know,
you wore them out.
Yeah, I wore them out, and I just have a really bad memory from that time in general. But, you know, the one thing that stuck with me is that I liked, you know, taking things apart, putting them back together, figuring out how they worked, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, that naturally just led me to the computer industry and problem solving there. And as I've grown and gained experience, I've learned that, you know, as much as the technology problems are the most naturally easy for me, there are also very interesting problems in other spaces, mm-hmm. you know, running a business and starting a business for one, thinking about how to change the fashion industry and help, you know, create a brand that is moving things forward right. and, you know, using these, you know, forward-thinking business practices.
It's like a big puzzle for you.
Yeah, exactly. To me, everything's a puzzle in terms of, okay, well, that's the goal, but these are the constraints along the way. How do we make everything work so that it kind of works and sustains itself long term?
Right, right.
So that's my current puzzle. So far, it's been a very hard one to solve.
Do you think it's ever going to be solved?
I hope to get to the point where it's sustaining itself from uh-huh. At least a financial perspective. Uh-huh. And then there'll always be more challenges, I think, because as you grow, there's more concerns that come up, and the situation changes. So there's always something you have to react to, this changing situation.
Right.
So I don't think it'll ever be completely solved, but just getting to the point where we're accomplishing our goals and, you know, snowballing, so to speak, bigger and bigger towards those goals, I think will be a sigh of relief whenever we get there.
Cool. So I want to ask some other questions. So I want to ask, what do each of you want to be remembered for? Like, so if we fast forward it 150 years, you know, I said 150 years because you guys are going to live forever. How do you want people to remember you?
Oh, well, I always said if I had to put on my tombstone, she cared. Mm-hmm. Like, just that simple thing about caring. That, mm-hmm. But I would hope that... Okay. Oh, God, that's a tough one. You had to throw that one in. Probably that I was a good teacher and mentor to people, mm-hmm. that I was able to take this knowledge and share it and pay it forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that to me would be... That's the most important thing that you give back to others. This, we're all so blessed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
we are.
We really are, you know? And I just think that that's something you can leave is by teaching and sharing your knowledge. All too often people want to hide their light under a basket. You have to share that light, you know? Right. You have to share that light.
Okay, awesome. Stephanie, what do you want to be remembered for?
Well, I guess there are two things. One, if I'm being very specific, we are tracking the metrics on our platform for the amount of water, toxins, and energy that we are saving by mm-hmm. diverting this stuff from landfill. So I want to be remembered for saving over 4 billion gallons of water, 2 million pounds of chemicals, and keeping over 2 million tons of textiles out of landfills. But that's a very specific thing to be remembered for, mm-hmm. Kind of on a broader vision. Obviously, who knows what's going to happen? The current political, social, economic world is really in flux right now in a very interesting way, and it opens up opportunities. So I'm kind of riding the Elon Musk train, and if and when we have to all go out to Mars, I want to be remembered for being one of the first people on that spaceship getting out to Mars and helping build the new tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Do we have time for Dipton? Okay. We're going to come to break, and then we're going to get back to Dipton.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we are back. And it's Dipton. It's not Dipton. It's Dipton. D-I-P-I-N. Dipton, what would you like to be remembered for?
That's a tough one for me, mainly because I prefer anonymity for the most part.
You're like, he came, you saw, and he left.
Pretty much. Rather than being remembered for anything, I would rather prefer that, you know, people forget me, but I had some sort of a lasting impact.
And what would that impact be?
That's something I'm still figuring out. hopefully Cro-Magnon will be part of that, but I'm still figuring out what that will be.
Okay. So it's a big puzzle for you.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So the next question is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And we kind of cheated a little bit, Stephanie, because I told them at the break, and Dipton said, run. So Dipton, I'm going to have you answer that question. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
The run was a little bit of a joke, mm-hmm. But not really. Realistically, the main thing I would tell myself is to wake up, so to speak. For a long time, I was kind of on autopilot, and mm-hmm. I didn't really fully understand or pay attention to everything that was happening. Mm-hmm. And if I had been more aware and more cognizant of things, I think I could have reacted to it and or, you know, impacted it to some degree that would have hopefully prevented at least some heartache along the way.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's never too late to wake up.
Yeah.
Right. Agreed. And you wake up when you wake up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really great that you are so honest and forthright with that. So I really appreciate you for that. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Oh, God. Well, probably save your money, put some money away.
Uh-huh.
You know, just to be mindful of the future,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I would also say to watch your health.
Mm-hmm.
Really pay attention, especially women. It's important. We tend to overlook it. And mm-hmm. I know for myself, I knew nothing about my health until...
Yes, because you're a breast cancer survivor.
I am indeed. I am indeed. And I definitely would say that for myself, you know, we are what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
Are what we wear, we are what we eat as well. So food also goes along with what we eat, what we put in our bodies, not what we put on our bodies, what we put in our bodies mm-hmm. also counts. So yeah, that's what I would tell myself.
Awesome. Stephanie?
I'd probably tell myself to keep thinking differently and always remember to question the status quo and, you know, don't be afraid to challenge it. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously when we're sitting in college and young and a little bit naive, it's almost the kind of perfect time to start thinking about building these businesses and solving these problems. I went straight from college into law school and you know, then to Wall Street, which in many ways it was great. It taught me a lot and gave me a lot of the tools that I am using now, obviously, as an entrepreneur. But I always wonder, you know, we always play the what if game. And if I kind of started building and thinking about these things a little bit differently. So don't be afraid. It's never too early to disrupt something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where would you all like to be in the next 5 years? Who'd like to go first?
Okay. Well, I mean, for myself, I kind of like the idea of setting goals. I look at it as climbing up a ladder, that the top of the ladder is this thing I have to get to, and mm-hmm. each rung is like another, you know, and I might go back a few rungs.
Yes.
But I'm able to.
It's nonlinear.
Yeah, I can go up to this thing. I'd like to see that I've continued the revitalizing the Made in America movement, Made mm-hmm. in New York. I'm really passionate about keeping jobs here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like Stephanie, I actually went to Dubai for 6 months to learn how to use this laser technology that reduces water during the manufacturing process, that to set up something here. I kind of like Pete Seeger said, think globally, act locally. So mm-hmm. I feel that everybody, especially in fashion, big fashion capitals all over the world, should really, you know, support the brands in their country, manufactured, keep the prices good. We don't, you know, we keep going away from, you know, we threw away the jeans manufacturing business itself, like in the 80s, like, you know, the baby went out with the bathwater and decimated an entire industry. And I'd like to know that I could continue to keep these factories going, keep all the green initiatives with, you know, the post garment treatments, mm-hmm. And continue my charity work. So that's really, you know, and I like that balance. It's really, really important in all that you do. I always say to myself, it's just a job, right. You know, it's work, you know, every day I wake up with an air of gratitude and thankful for my blessings, and everything else is gravy after that, you know?
Awesome.
So that's how I feel.
Great. Stephanie?
For me, want to be building Alibaba or Amazon done right. I guess I always think about, for all of us, you know, Alibaba and Amazon, these e-commerce giants that are paving the way in a lot of industries now, how things are done. But nobody has really been able to stand up and challenge them yet. And there are opportunities there for us, both as business people, for consumers, to demand that there's better product, better transparency, better sustainability out there.
Right.
And so for all of us to keep fighting the good fight and pushing for that, and hopefully the world will pivot.
Awesome. Dippin.
In 5 years, I hope, you know, since Cro-Magnon so new, that it has gotten far enough along that I can focus on it full time and I don't have to work another job to help fund it anymore. That would be great. I mean, sooner is obviously better. Yeah. I'm not going to lie on that. Right. But, you know, aside from that, I think the bigger goal is, you know, and it's related to Cro-Magnon again, is to help move the industry forward. My personal opinion is that the next five to 10 years is somewhere in that time frame is going to be a tipping point for the sustainable fashion movement, and we need to be there, and brands like Cro-Magnon need to get the product out there in front of the consumers, mm-hmm. so that they can choose the right thing. Because right now they don't really have the options in most of the places, and I think hopefully in 5 years, hopefully Cro-Magnon will be at a point where we're more able to do that, where we're in front of more people so they can hopefully make the better choices themselves.
Great. So basically what I hear is that sustainability will be like organic, like the organic food. It yes. took so forever to get to where it is, but now it's just expected.
Yes,
I expect
exactly.
that you're going to have organic in the stores like that.
Yes.
The way it's done.
Yeah. Awesome. One other question, and I want you to just take like 30 seconds and answer this question, because we're going to have to close out soon. What does everybody's happily ever after look like? And I don't know who wrote that question. I think that might have been you. Happily ever after? What does your happily ever after look like? Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess my happily ever after is I kind of have a Peter Baird fantasy dream of living between like New York, Africa, and California, and traveling, mm-hmm. where I can continue to do what I do part of the time, but I spend a lot of my time traveling, taking pictures, and working with the kids that's in Africa, because that's a big thing, because 50% of the children there are HIV positive from mother to child.
And in which country is this?
In Malawi.
Yeah.
And I went to a couple of United Nations events, and by 2030, is to hopefully eradicate AIDS. And mm-hmm. and then the last thing is to continue my work as a advocate for cycling and pedestrians right. in New York, so that I can continue to do these kinds of causes and really be an active member, so that my business is running itself, and then I can...
That's more than 30 seconds, you know that, right?
Okay, sorry.
Dippin?
I actually don't really know what my happily ever after would be. I guess the closest thing would be that, you know, Cro-Magnon is sustaining itself and I have more leisure time, just like, you mm-hmm. know, she was
to
saying.
Make more puzzles.
Yes. Find other interesting puzzles to solve, that's you know, right. Whether they are, you know, for, you know, some nonprofit organization or something of that sort, or something a little more selfish that just happens to interest me. I don't really know.
Right. Okay, great. Stephanie?
I'm a competitive sailor, so I would like to take some years and sail around the world with my family while working off my boat.
Awesome. So so it is now 5:55. We have two more minutes. I would just like to say thank you. Is there anything quickly that you want to promote? Any of you? You're doing something.
Well, I'm going to be working on a new technology called 3D body scanning and some of this waterless finishing, and so you can
where can people reach you?
You can reach me at Godmother NYC Inc. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, just look for me. And
Christina Rucci.
I'm old school. I don't have a website. I don't want to have a website.
Okay. Dippin?
Just Cro-Magnon. We're finally at the point where we're launching our e-commerce in the next week, and hopefully we'll have retailers also pretty soon.
Great. And Stephanie?
You can find me on queenofraw.com. My email is stephanie@queenofraw.com, and I have a podcast, Material is Your Business, so you can check it out.
Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for being on the show. I hope that the listeners were enthralled, excited, will look you up. And I just want to say thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show. I had an awesome time. I hope you had an awesome time. I hope you learned a lot. And I would like for you guys to connect with each
yes,
other and
absolutely.
Stay in contact.
Yes.
So I'll make sure you get all the... So this is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. See, you too can have your passion and have it be a contribution to the rest of the world and sustain yourself. So until next week, bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.